If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Axar Command. This evening I have a wonderful topic that I think we're all going to enjoy very much. It's called Prophetic Children, Toddlers Who Foresee the Future. And let's begin with a nice meditation and a service assignment. Let's go and do some work with that gushing oil in our gulf. What do you say? So make yourself comfortable and relax and take a deep breath. And call yourself forward in your radiant, immortal, beautiful body of light. That part of you that's eternal. It doesn't matter what kind of a meat suit you put on the outer. Within that is your body of light that is always perfect and whole, wise beyond your wildest imaginations, eternally one with God, and sent forth into this and a myriad of worlds where it clothes itself in the vestitures of time and space for specific missions that we do for God. And so we put on the earth suit and came also to be born for just a time such as this, when we knew we would be history makers at a time of the greatest transformative events ever to occur on planet Earth. Oh, we may have partaken of the Renaissance periods and previous golden ages and times, but perhaps not for a long time have we had the opportunity to see the actual metamorphosis of a hybrid race that we helped to seed and colonize here eons ago, matriculate into something infinitely and immortally, unspeakably lovely and divine. We've often been given the metaphor for transformation of the butterfly. And that's a good one. But it's something even more wondrous than that. Because we enter as something very limited to emerge into limitless light, limitless, open-ended creativity and opportunity. Going to be clearing some more of you prophets. You see, when I work with the collective, I also clear various levels of those who are listening. Not I myself, but the Spirit of God that functions through this ministry is ministering to each one of you in these seminars. I'm simply one who has agreed to step forward and open my mouth and deliver the message that has been given to me. And I'm going to pause a moment and mute this and clear my chakras. Hold on. Okay, I saved your eardrums with that one. So just imagine that your entire body is a sounding board, a sounding instrument. The entire nature of your being is encoded with supersonics that are divinely orchestrated to bring forward a specific melodic motif that is your particular sound. Everything in the universe has a sound. Every planet, every star, every moon, every person, every cell in your body is like a tiny little music box giving forth the divine shabd, the divine sound of God. And the inner tapestry, one of your subtle bodies, has been likened to a symphonic orchestra that enables you to come into harmonic resonance with different worlds. In other words, your inner music, which is called in Sanskrit the Bhagavad Gita, the Song of God, that inner music enables you to, through your sonar energy signature, your mineralic signature, you are enabled to move into worlds that correspond with your melody, with your particular sound. And we've been speaking a lot about how every thought, word, and deed is a seed, but also every thought, word, and deed emits a color and a sound. And the sum total of that forms a multidimensional tapestry of light called the Eka Body of Many Relativities in The Keys of Enoch, the Book of Knowledge by Dr. Hurkacz. He speaks about this body, and he speaks about the fact that everything is understood in the cosmos in terms of light and sound. And our communication with ultra-dimensional lords of light and realms of light is predicated upon our learning to interpret and to receive communication that is based upon supersonics and pictographic divine geometries of light, which are downloaded into our consciousness and then are interpreted by our mind, connected by the Antahkarana, the inner bridge, the inner rainbow bridge, as some people call it, that connects the soul body with the lower mind, or the buddhi, the higher intellect, and that floods your human persona with what's been called divine straight knowledge or direct knowing. That is real communication, and that's how we communicate. It's not in English. It's not verbal. It's not linear. And it has nothing to do with how we understand the material world in which we live. This is divine revelation that is preparing us to enter real life. We've been living a dummy life. It sounded like I said dummy life, but actually I meant to say demi life, a half life. And we are moving into whole life, or life more abundant, as Jesus phrased it. Many people have a very limited understanding of life beyond the physical. And that's why I try to connect the dots and the understanding so that you realize you're not just this one body sitting wherever it is you're sitting right now in this one presentation that you think of is you, which would be your mind and your emotions and your physical body, your personality, and your name and your gender and your job definition or whatever. No, that's not even a 10% of who you are. That's like taking a tiny grain of sand on the seashore and saying, this is who I am. Try to get that as a metaphor here. You defining yourself as who you are in your present personality, human self, is like taking one tiny grain of sand from the infinite seashores of existence and saying, this is who I am, no more, no less. When in actuality, there is no way to define the limitless light and intelligence and creative potential that you are in your vaster, multi-dimensional self. Now, we have agreed to come in highly veiled and pretend for a while to be this singular identification that bears your present name and your present personality presentation. But what if part of the joy of moving from this earth body into what has been prepared for that next garment of life or tapestry of unfolding existence, what if that enabled you to have awareness, like, for example, a mega avatar? Say, for example, one who identifies with inhabiting all of us at the same time, so that when he or she looks out upon the world, he or she only sees themselves in and as every one of us. That would be an avatar's point of view. Interesting, huh? That's going to make a very nice, rich meditation and contemplation for some of us. Did you ever wonder how Jesus can be the Lord to 7 billion people at the same time on planet Earth? No, that's just counting incarnated people on planet Earth. That's not even taking into consideration the billions of universes and galaxies and so forth in this local galaxy. I mean, we can't even comprehend what it must be like to be the person that we kind of lightly call the Son of God. No, we can't understand what it would be like, really, from our human level, to be in everyone as the very soul that is their spiritual nature. And yet, that's what lies before us. We are moving from human into superhuman, into transhuman, into that which would be a collective Christed race of whole light, ultra-dimensional beings. We're not going to go and sit in a cloud and play a harp and just sit there for eternity and do nothing. We are moving into the real heavens, the real worlds that have been newly created, let's say, and awaiting the coming of the sons and daughters of light to provide the beautifying touches. It will be our creative touch that brings these new worlds and dimensions and universes to life. Personally, and this is just my personal point of view, it may or may not be accurate, but personally, I don't think our particular destiny, at least mine isn't, the moving into the new earth. I actually don't relate with that at all. I relate to moving on beyond, way beyond this earth and this galaxy and this solar system and this universe into a new hyper universe that has just been birthed in the Shekinah universes. And the Shekinah universes are the Holy Spirit universes that are the representation of the power aspect of God, which is also the perfectioning of the love aspect of God, which comes together as that which we call the Comforter or the Spirit of Truth. So identify with going into the universe that will be truth itself.
Perhaps that's why I've always had such a passion for truth. And I think many of you who listen to these radio seminars, I think maybe you also have the same passion for truth. And it's in our inquiring together each month that we kind of rub off on each other and spark the next revelation of our understanding. Because I think you know by now, truth, real truth, is probably beyond our conception and understanding in the human mind and human dimension of knowledge. It transcends what we would call truth here. Truth, by Vedic definition, is that which changes not. And I think truth, by biblical definition, is that which remains the same today and yesterday and forever. And Jesus said, I am the truth. So we can say that there are those who resonate the full spectrum of truth in time and space so that we can kind of get a harmonic resonance with that particular chord, that melodic refrain, and begin to entrain into it so that we can begin to travel in the ways of truth. Now we're moving from what is called the Dark Age, or the Kali Yuga. Kali has the meaning of darkness and inertia and time, into the Satya Yuga, which has the definition of being the age of truth, or the golden age. So we're moving again from darkness to light, from the unreal to the real, from death to immortality. That is the passage that we are engaged in as a human species, and many of us who have adopted the human form, but are in truth lords and ladies of light from more advanced worlds, who have already experienced what the earth, earth humanity is for the first time experiencing. Most of us have come back in time. Some of us haven't quite had that overlay yet of the future self, but I think many of you will be having future self integrations so that you're coming back to yourself from the future and integrating with your human present personality. This produces a feeling and an experience very similar to that of a walk-in. You literally become a new person. But the new person that you become is one that's a knower. And you no longer can identify with the objectives and the ambitions that drive and fuel the average human being. You live life at a much different dimension and level. Now, I think it would be a good idea if we did some light work with the golf tonight. So let me pause for a moment and let's align the energies once again. Take a deep breath. Breathe in the starlit particles of myriads of worlds. See it as a radiant shower of life eternal. Breathe it in and ignite the luminosity within each cell of your body. Speak and breathe life, resurrection life, divine life, Zoe life into each cell, each quark of your existence. That would be your subatomic particles. And see yourself just glowing from head to toe with radiant light. See it pouring forth from each cell, from your face, your eyes. Your whole auric field is ablaze with light. That's your truth, you know. That's who you really are. You are the very light of God itself. And now let's take each other's hands. Just visualize that you're taking the hands of your brothers and sisters from all over the world. And we're forming an immense planetary circle of light. Everyone, every race, every culture, every creed, every situation, every kind of a presentation of beingness is joining in this work. Oh, I see a number of the Devic elementals want to join in too. Okay, you're welcome. What the heck, let's invite some angels too. Okay. And our brothers and sisters from other worlds. Let's invite them too. Okay, whoever wants to be part of this, you're invited. So make the circle really, 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 really big. Okay, take a deep breath. And send the light through your right hand, or through your left hand, into your right, and just send it around the circle so that we just make this beautiful golden circle of light. And we take our positions around the planet. And then we come in and we bring light into the very core of the planet Earth. And we bring it in deepest love according to that which would be for the highest rate and highest good of every inhabitant on this planet. So that we come in as a support, as a stabilizing and balancing in the most gentle and easy and gracious way possible, so that nothing is upset by our entrance, but we simply stand in fortification for and on behalf of this planet. And now let's just bring our circle of light over the Gulf of Mexico in North America. And as we stand around the area of the oil spill, we know that everything is light. Everything is energy. Everything is divine. Everything is part of God. Everything has particles of perfection in it. Everything is evocative, which means we can call forth that which is the truth within whatever it is that we look at from the truth and light within us. So from the Lord God within each of our hearts, and in the name and honoring of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, we ask that His Holy Spirit fill each one of us tonight and use us as instruments in whatever way we can best be mediators for the capping of this oil emission, that it be stopped and brought to a halt, that no more oil come forth to pollute the ocean. And we ask that whatever can be rendered supernaturally, magically, and in the most divinely transformative way possible, that all of the harmful effects of the oil be transmuted through the grace and the love of Almighty God. Just because God loves this earth. And God loves every single person on this earth. And all the creatures. And all of the beings and people who have been affected by this. And we ask for the transmutation of all anger, upset, fear, for all of the people that have had their livelihoods disrupted. We pray that the Holy Spirit would visit each household with comfort and a sense of the presence and the sustenance of God being with each family, each person, each livelihood. We pray for God's hand of intervention, for divine intervention to intervene and enter into the situation of the Gulf oil spill. Because obviously, it is beyond our human ability to deal with it effectively. We ask on behalf of all of the species that have been affected, all of the fish and the shrimp and the crabs and the shellfish and the different species of marine life and all of the marine plants and the marshes and the seashores. Father, we ask that whatever could be lifted at this time through grace, that that take place as we stand as united mediators, mediating your divine plan onto earth through our human agreement and coming together in support of one another. And you said, Father, that wherever two or more are gathered, that your Son, Jesus the Christ, enters into that and forms that divine trinity. So with all of the thousands and millions of light workers on this planet, surely the Christ is present in great, great magnitude here and now. And in his name and by his power and authority, which you have said, Father, is the name above all names, is the power beyond all powers on heaven, in heaven, and upon earth. We speak divine order, divine solutions, divine protection, divine provision, divine deliverance from all of the negative ramifications of this oil spill that can possibly be ministered at this time, keeping in mind the highest good and your highest will and plan and destiny for planet Earth. We ask, Father, that you visit the minds of those who are in a position to invent or to come into alignment with a solution, that they be illumined with those ideas and sent into the arena where their expertise and their gifts can serve in addressing the cleanup and the refurbishing of that environment to its healthy and pristine state. And we ask that, Father, out of this catastrophe, you will send blessings and new life beyond our wildest imagining. And we thank you, Father, and we give you all the honor, all the gratitude, and all the praise. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Amen. And just visualize this whole area with pristine water, water that is so clear and pristine that it's like magic has touched it. It's like a magic hand, you know, an angelic hand has just touched that water, or like the Christ himself has just stood with his feet on that gulf, and it's been just suddenly cleaned and cleansed. Now, some of you have asked how the Ashtar Command is assisting with this, and let me tell you some of the things that have been done. Number one, one of the things that the Ashtar Command is doing is safeguarding jeopardized species for reseeding. In other words, some of the ecosystems are very, very tenuous in their ability to flourish with some of the contaminants right now in the oceans. So that if things went on just as they were without the oil spill, many, many of these species would not survive. So the Ashtar Command has been gathering these species so that there will not be a loss of particular life forms. The second thing that has happened, which I think you will really appreciate, and one of the reasons why there's been relatively few carcasses of marine life that we've actually seen, why is that? It's because almost immediately when this happened, the Ashtar Command put an energy barrier around that area where the oil spill has contaminated the ocean so that the sea animals sense the energy barrier and they don't go into that area. I think there was three dolphins that perished. And dolphins are extremely highly evolved beings, extraterrestrial beings. And that communication from literally they gave their life to bring to the attention the dire situation in that area, and that communicated through the dolphins to the whales, to the whole marine kingdom. The whole aquatic kingdom received this telepathic information from the dolphins and the whales. Now, the energy barrier will keep those large mammals, the marine mammals, out of that area, and the other fish and animals, too, that are sensitive to it. Some of the species of animals are less sensitive than others. They're not as highly evolved, so they have less sensitivity. So those also are the more plentiful in that environment. So they are less jeopardized than some of these more highly evolved mammals. We have also taken a large number of the whales and dolphins off the planet. Some have been receded into other areas of the ocean, and some have just wished to be relocated elsewhere. Some of them are finished with their missions, so they were allowed to go home, so to speak. And another thing that's happening is that members of the Ashtar Command who are in scientific fields of marine and ecological, biological, scientific traditions and studies and backgrounds, they will continue to appear on the scene as necessity and occasion coincide. These are the kind of people that suddenly are there when they're needed, and they do what they do, and then they're not seen again. How do we do that? People sometimes ask, how do you guys appear and disappear in and out of sight at will? How do you guys do that? Well, I opened the show tonight describing that we are made of light and sound, all of us, not just those of us from other planets, everybody. Everybody is a condensation and a densification of initially the living word and the living light, which then densifies through gradations of heat and pressure, atmospheric pressure, until it precipitates into a densified form that you call a body on Earth, whether it's an animal body or a human body or whatever. We all start from the word and the light and that heat and that pressure and that densification until we pop out as a form of a particular type. And that is governed by very specific universal laws and principles and a whole host of beings and elementals and angels and devic beings that coordinate and cooperate in the process of taking on a form and appearing in a particular density and dimension. So here we are resonating at third and fourth dimensions. And the third dimension would be primarily the animal kingdom. The fourth dimension would be primarily the human kingdom. And then the fifth dimension would be the divine kingdom or the angelic or the superhuman kingdom. So we're a hybrid. Basically, the human is a hybrid of the third, fourth, and soon-to-be fifth kingdom. So we resonate those particular energies. Some are more in one-dimensional resonance than another, but we're all light and sound. That means once you have mastered working with light and sound, which is a specific process that we're all learning on the inner planes, and some people are studying it actually upon the physical plane, you eventually learn that you are not limited by your form, but you can move in your consciousness into the higher vibrations that we call the light and the sound. That's what happens when you move in and out of your body in soul travel, or even in and out of your body when you daydream, or in and out of your body when you go to sleep at night, or in and out of your body when you are born into this world and when you die out of this world. So we're constantly moving from the form into the formless, back and forth, or from form to spirit, spirit to form, That's the dance. That's the universal dance of manifestation and dematerialization. So everybody's doing that all the time. It's just that now we are in an age where we're learning to do that consciously. Now, how do you do that? You raise your vibration. The higher the rate of vibration, the more you become out of visible sight. For example, I'm sure you've all seen the blades of a fan. When you turn it on really high and fast, you don't see the blades of the fan. They're invisible to you. Why? Because of the oscillation rate. Same thing with the propellers in those old airplanes. They would be visible until they reached a certain oscillation, and then they were invisible. So we all know that the faster the rate of vibration, the more it looks like it goes into invisibility. And that's exactly how we appear in and we disappear out of dimensions. Years ago, I told you that when I was traveling and doing workshops all over the planet, they were called Ashtar Command Ascension Activations. And periodically, Ashtar would join his frequency with my frequency and dematerialize my physical body. So that I'd be sitting in the room, and the way I would feel it was that I felt like my body was starting to glow, like it was shining. I could almost feel the light pouring through my cells. But visually, what I saw happen was the whole room go into brilliant white light. And I finally realized that when the room disappeared, that meant I had disappeared. And I didn't know that I had disappeared until people would say that I had dematerialized, because I felt as solid as I did when I was visible. So that's something that people realize when they step out of their body in near-death experiences, is that they feel just as solid and real as they did before when they had their physical body on. The major difference would be that you don't have pain, and you can pass through solid matter. In fact, sometimes that's how a person realizes that they have passed away, is that they will go to reach, you know, talk to somebody and the person ignores them. Or somebody's coming down the hall and walks right through them. Or they'll go to open a door and their hand will go through it. These are all sometimes the first signs that you have dematerialized and moved into another direction. Now you better get ready, because we're going to be doing that more and more and more. This is a time when we're going to be doing a lot more of those things, because those are the abilities that come with the echo body of many relativities and a heightening of the epikinetic body, which is an extenuation of your astral body, and your electromagnetic body, which is your physical body, as it goes into more and more refined states of light and sound vibrations. So just prepare for that, because even now you're having these experiences, but you don't sometimes catch yourself in the midst of them. But a common one we've all had is where you walk into the room and you put your keys down on the kitchen table. Now, you're used to putting them on the kitchen table. Let's say that you always do that and you are aware that you did it this time too. But you walk out of the room, go do something, whatever, come back into the kitchen, go to reach for your keys and they're not there. Now you know full well you put them on the kitchen table. And you look and you look and you look and you get really frustrated, but you don't realize that actually you stepped into another dimension for just a split second. Actually, they're little forays in and out of time, such as we know them. We go into the timeless just for a second. And then you may turn right around after you look for your keys everywhere, come back to that kitchen table again for the umpteenth time, and there they are. Now, we've all had that experience, I'm sure, because it's a very common one. And what we're doing is we're taking little quick forays, little soul travel, quick out-of-time journeys to the parallel universe that we're moving into, or the new Earth planet that some of you are moving into, or wherever it is that your trajectory is going to be as a spirit, because we're not all going to the same place. We have different places that we've come from, and we have different places that we're going back to. So every one of us has an ingrained map system. You've got a planetary positioning, a global positioning device inside your spirit that will unerringly draw you to where you need to go. So you don't have to sweat that. You don't have to worry about that. Not only do you have your spiritual family that is going to be looking out for you, that's on the ships or in another dimension, and also in this dimension, but you've already got the mapping inside you, which is activated the moment you need it. You won't have it until you need it, but these things will activate as you need it, along with the abilities that you need to function in that next progression that you're moving into. So I want you to be secured in that and not to worry about that. We are always too concerned about what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, if this happens or that happens, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, you're not going to know what you're going to do because you're going to be led by the Spirit. And know that the Spirit always functions in the present moment. It isn't going to lay you out a big linear dialectic on what you're going to do 10 minutes from now or a year from now or 5 years from now. That's all human thinking. Spirit is here and now, and it's all sufficient. That's why Jesus said to Paul, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And he could just as easily have said that to any one of us. God's grace is sufficient for each one of us. But the problem is we don't actually understand grace because it's so magical and supernatural, and it has nothing to do with who we are or what we do or what we have or haven't done. It has nothing to do with us at all. It's simply an expression of God's love for its own creation, which is each one of us, and we don't have to do anything to earn it. It's that unmerited favor that's just bestowed because it's a God thing, and God loves all of its creation. So, anywho, I wanted to share with you some rather fascinating stories of children. I got this off of the Godlike Productions website, and I just thought it was really, really interesting because so many of us have extraordinary children. I know I do. And they are doing some really interesting things. Now, this is coming from a man who says he has four of these extraordinary children. So I'm going to read it as I took it off the website so that you can all enjoy it, hopefully as much as I did. Bear in mind that these children, not only are they very young, but obviously they came in fully encoded with knowledge about the immediate future of the planet. Now, some of it is kind of dire, so don't let that worry you, because the people of God aren't supposed to go through these things. We either are lifted to a higher level of consciousness, or if necessity demands it, the dimensions will be shifted slightly so we're not in the area of catastrophe, or we're lifted just out of it for a split second and replaced, or we're beamed out entirely if need warrants that. So again, walk the earth fearlessly. Be happy. Enjoy your life. And know that you're here because you wanted to be here. You wanted a first row seat to watch this puppy go down. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You're watching actually the ending of a very obsolete system and way of being and the birthing of a better one, a new incarnation for planet Earth. So let's enjoy it. Anyway, I'm going to be reading this now. This is the Father speaking. I wanted to share a daily experience I have being a father. Now, for those of you who have children, you know that at any point you could be privy to just about anything coming out of their mouths. The situation with my children is a little different. People have all kinds of names for them. I don't subscribe to indigo children or crystal children because labels limit the reality. I'm blessed with not one, but four of these beings, all of them having something to say about why they are here and what is going to soon happen to the planet. Protecting them became a priority, so they have been homeschooled and taught in the ancient way, and they are a precious gift. Each one, starting as soon as they could talk around age one, started describing where they had come from and why they are here and what is going to happen. Imagine your two-year-old telling you the planet will turn over, that the volcanoes will erupt all over the place, and that the people will all fall down, and everything will change very soon. They talk of ships coming to the earth to take people to a safe place. And now my second son, three, has been telling us for a year, my planet is coming. For those of you paying attention, you can see it on Google Sky. You can see it on NASA's SOHO and StereoPics. You can see its effects on the magnetosphere on a daily basis as it twists the Earth's field. It never used to do that. Every day he keeps telling me, my planet is coming. What color is it? Red. Where is it? It's near the sun, so you can't see it very well, but soon you can. When? I can't get an answer because time is not the same to him as it is to us. He says sometimes in 3 minutes, for example, so it's useless to pursue. He lives in a different relationship with time and space. And every night when he goes to sleep, he goes to his planet and his, quote, quote, population and makes sure everything is okay. And then he comes and tells us about it. By the way, as a little aside, the planet Nibiru, which I have a picture of, is red. Isn't that interesting? Mars is red, too. But I had the feeling that he's speaking about Nibiru because Nibiru is supposed to be hidden near the sun. Back to the story. His population. He used this word for the first time when he was 2 and a half. We never, ever use this word. He spoke about it all on his own, talking about his planet coming. He says that when his planet comes here, it will be a good thing, and there will be fire in the sky everywhere, and that the ocean will have huge waves, and many things will change on the earth, but all the children will be safe. The bad people will go away, he says. It's hard to be detached from the devastation that is occurring all around the world. Many here on this site clearly don't take it seriously, or take themselves or life seriously. I'm not speaking to them. I'm speaking to those who are paying attention, who live with their hearts open, who are looking for the clues to take them to the next level, always. Every day to grow better, to be better people, to love more, to live more. Time is so short. This is not the time to quibble. For those of you in the Gulf of Mexico, he states, my heart goes out to you. I know your lives are changing before your eyes. We all have very difficult decisions to make in the days to come. The most important thing we can do is to listen, to pray, to ask where we need to be and what we need to do to be of the highest service, and to provide for those we love until this acceleration takes us all through the singularity. I can say this, at the behest of our children, we have sold everything and moved to a safe location. Here we can grow food year-round, have fresh air, water, and nourishment as long as that is necessary. It is my hope that you have done the same. If not, it is never too late. I looked to see where this guy was living, and it looks like he's in Fiji. Continuing, he reminds us that all we need to do until his planet comes is play. Doesn't that sound like a child? Play. That is for him to stay in the moment and to enjoy life and to love whatever he does, whether that's play in the ocean or play in the garden or plant seeds. It doesn't matter. Life is precious. Let us not waste it on trivial things, on the mundane. For example, if you knew that you had only a year to live, what would you do? Well, if you don't, no. Or you can accept the inevitability of the calendar. Whichever one you use, pretend. Live as though. It puts things into greater perspective. It makes you laugh more, listen better, and enjoy the present moment, because that's all we really have. Our family is on a holiday at the moment. The interesting thing is what happens when seemingly random statements and events begin to coincide. For example, what happens when anomaly after anomaly takes place in the scientific community within NASA and with the magnetosphere and, of course, with the Earth, all corresponding to what the children speak of, not just my kids, but many, as many of you reading this thread all over the planet. Obviously, you have to take the child's conditioning into account. Not many children are allowed to be themselves past age 3 anymore, and most are subject to horrendous amounts of conditioning even before they can talk. But that is another subject. Conscious parenting is a lost art, and the cultural conditioning today is not an easy thing to reckon with. But I would say this. Most children have more to teach adults than adults have to teach them, if you let them. Are you listening? The children are here to introduce us, not the other way around. Jesus taught as much. If you cannot be as a child, you cannot even listen to the children, then where is the kingdom of God? I will say this. They know a lot more about Christ than most adults I have encountered on this planet, and this is not a good thing. That is why I am here. I asked him, who are the bad people? And he said, the bad people are people without love in their hearts. Listen, everyone, the truth resonates at a very deep level within. This can be scary to some, I understand. You are not resented. It is simply where you are. At a certain point, you will cease being a mouthpiece for the conditioned world, and you will wake up to a moment of truth, an experience of awe, one beyond words. Time will seem to stop. You will gasp for air. The heart will feel as though it has stopped beating in your breast. In that moment, may I remind you to breathe. Separation is the source of the duality on this plane. The duality gets stronger as acceleration takes place. It is in the face of adversity, of trial, of challenge, that the truth within us takes form within our hearts and is manifested for all to see. That is why we must all work so diligently to let go, to purify the consciousness that suffers the dualistic state at the mercy of the ego, to live in the sea of tranquility. It is simply a matter of letting go. Nature teaches us this very lesson, which is why immersion in the natural world is such a great healer. There is no need to teach the children. They know more than you and I. Have you not been paying attention to your kids? Is it not important to share with them what we know? It is not important to share with them what we know or think is coming or what we think is going to happen, but to ask the questions. When we speak to a child, they hear better than most adults. They're like a sponge. The younger they are, they have no filters. They are wired to absorb, to learn quickly as possible, to emulate, to imitate. They live in an altered state most of the time. How sensitive is the state of being? How many parents know this or care about this? Conscious Parenting 101. Were it a prerequisite for conception, this world would be a vastly different experience. I know this is a frightening time for many. Many feel powerless, alone, stuck, with no way out. But look around you. You have all found friends here, people you resonate with. You are never alone. Is the end coming? The beginning? Remember, for a person watching a birth from the outside, it is the beginning of a new life. For a fetus, it is the end of the life in the womb. Try to step outside yourself and gain a new perspective. This is another writer that's writing. Hi, OP. When my daughter was 3, she ran into my room one morning all excited, and she had to tell me her dream. She said she was in heaven and went through a turning hole. There she saw angels dressed in white, and there was a leader angel on a white winged horse. She said that he had white hair and a crown, and he wore all white and had the bluest eyes. She kept talking about his beautiful blue eyes. And then she said for me not to worry. They will come and save us from the lava. And she said they love us all so very much. There had been other times when she has described heaven to me, and she's always said from a very young age that she was on earth to help. My wife had a vision of she and I caring for many children and some families aboard a craft of some kind. There was a river inside the ship and a waterfall that purified the air inside, and every day at a certain time, all of the people gathered to watch the river overflow or flush out the water-air breathing systems. She said that we were caretakers of many children on this craft, which just sort of hovered at maybe 20 to 30,000 feet, and slowly drifted from place to place. The roof of the craft was a clear dome. Now, I have to add in here that she described very perfectly one of our motherships. In fact, a lot of our motherships have exactly what she's described. For example, the navigation area of our ship, our flagship, the Star of Bethlehem, is a clear dome. That's where Ashtar and the major commanders that navigate the ship through thought sit, and you can see all around you. It's like being out in the, it's just stars. It's just wonderful to be up there. And then we have this, it's like a dolphin pool fountain right in the center of this huge room. It kind of reminds me of a five-star hotel lobby, but it has a way of bringing negative ions and purifying the air, and has many, many qualities that keep the environment in the ship just in the perfect degree of ionization. It's just heavenly. The air is so pristine, and everything in the ship, it just feels so fresh all the time. And I think she's done a wonderful job of describing this to her husband in the vision that she's recounting. So I'm continuing on with his description of her vision. This is the man's wife that he's talking about. Then she had another vision where we were with the same people, but now leading them through a suburban neighborhood, going from each house in order, scavenging for whatever people had left when they all fled. As our group combed the houses on the street, it was clear that the owners had all left very quickly because none of them were around, and it was a dead silence but for us. So maybe there was some kind of an evacuation. Anyway, there was lots of useful tools, medicines, and food, which we were finding, and we felt very safe and protected, according to her. Then there was another vision she had where she and I were in a hammock, peacefully watching the sunset while many families and happy people played and enjoyed themselves. These three visions were described by her in great detail in the morning after we woke up, or in one case she had written it down, and I read it when I came home from work. I was able to question her about the visions, and she described them in good detail as to what the pictures of her visions were. I fear that it is all true. And the last, there's two more that I think are very interesting. This man writes, I believe OP's story because I've also had what I call cosmic wanderings. I'm a contactee. 25 years ago, I was already practicing astral projection and have recalled many specific experiences from those journeys and countless others since. One involved the Savior ships. I remember clearly witnessing the government sanctioned landings, the long rows of white tents where people were pulsed aboard the craft. Upon entering, IDs were checked, medical records were examined, and specific concerns were addressed, but the line moved steadily and without the usual human delays. There was a military presence surrounding the entire landing processing area, but they were benign and were there strictly to maintain a semblance of order. The armed soldiers seemed awkward and aware that they were merely on display, since nearly everyone, to a child, behaved somberly, as if in deep thought. There were also several people who appeared to be genuinely excited, but their attitudes became more somber, too, as they moved closer to the tent entrance. All in all, it was a very peaceful scene, surreal, to be sure, but certainly a matter-of-fact event with little disruption. The processing continued for several days, nonstop. I saw no one was turned away, although I noted several who did change their minds and exit the area. That is why I believe that OP, or more specifically his children, and what they have told us here, could this be the celebrated rapture that religionists speak of? Could be. Who really knows? I do believe we're in for one heck of a very ugly ride before those Savior ships start to arrive. And another man writes, I have nothing to relate to OP's experience. However, there was one thing I will never forget. I was dating a lady with a 4-year-old son, and she brought him by my place one day. Now, I have a blue glass ball the size of a softball that is full of tiny air bubbles. It's really a beautiful thing. Well, he became very interested in it, so I handed it to him, and he sat down on the floor and stared into it for about 5 minutes. This was a 4-year-old child. Until his mother said, what in the world did you give him? I walked over and asked him what he thought about it, and he looked up with a look of awe in his eyes and said, this is what your soul looks like. Now, this little boy had never been to church, and his mother had no idea he even knew the word soul. The hair stood up on my back and on the back of my neck, and I got that tingling feeling like something very important had just happened. He was always a soft-spoken, thoughtful kid and was different from everyone else in his family. So there you have all of these little star-seeded, obviously, star-seeded children who came in with a direct knowing. This post, by the way, was posted on May 22nd, just a few days ago. And now we have, there's one other post where a man writes, my son told me that very soon we will have two suns in the sky. There's the binary sun system, some child is sitting, seeing. These are two messages, excuse me, from the Divine Mother, Blessed Mother Mary. This one came in on April 24th. This is from Our Lady Queen of Peace. She appeared in Anguera, Brazil. Dear sons and daughters, don't get away from prayer. Humanity is at the eve of most sorrowful events. I am your sorrowful mother, and I suffer because of what is coming to you. The earth will shake, and immense rivers of fire will rise from the depths. Sleeping giants will awake, and there will be great suffering for many nations. The axis of the earth will change, and my poor children will live moments of great tribulations. Pay attention. This is a time of pain for humanity. Return to Jesus. Only in him will you find strength to support the weight of the trials that must come. Courage, I will speak to my son Jesus for you. Don't back out. This is the message I transmit to you today in the name of the Most Holy Trinity. thank you for permitting me to reunite you here once again. I bless you in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be at peace. I thought it was interesting. She speaks about rivers of fire rising from the depths. You know, every time I look at that oil spill, it looks to me like a plume of a volcano. And I just hope that they haven't actually pierced the molten core with this deep, deep, super deep diving equipment. I would think they would check to see if there was a volcano or what was under whatever they were, drilling into. But who knows? And it was interesting tonight. I think it was one of the people on CNN, I'm not sure who, actually referred to the oil as plumes three times. And that's what they look like, volcanic plumes of fire. Well, anyway, we hope that's not the case. And this is the next message from Our Lady Queen of Peace that was given on 2 days before. And they're all of this that I'm reading is from this year. This was given in Sambaia, Brazil. Dear sons and daughters, you are important to the realization of my plans. Don't leave what you have to do for tomorrow. God is in a hurry, and now is the time for your sincere and loving return to God, to the God of salvation and peace. I am your mother, and I am very close to you. When you feel the weight of your difficulties, call to me, and I will lead you to my son, Jesus. You will encounter strength in him for your journey. Your complete happiness is in Jesus. Return to him who loves you and knows you by name. Now is a time of great spiritual trials. Seek strength in prayer and in the Eucharist. When all seems lost, a great victory of God will arise for you. There will be no defeat for my chosen ones. The hour of Calvary will come to humanity. Great and sorrowful happenings will come to you, but don't lose heart. The angels of the Lord will come from heaven, and his chosen ones will not experience physical pains. In the great and final tribulation, people will see the powerful hand of God in action. Forward without fear. You belong to the Lord and have nothing to fear. This is the message I transmit to you today in the name of the Most Holy Trinity. Thank you for permitting me to reunite with you once more. And then she gives her blessings as she did before. Be at peace. Obviously, these came to Catholic recipients who received these visions. Okay, and this last poster has this to say. Guess what? I'm listening to our dreams, visions of Blessed Mary's words to us. Sacred Scripture has said that people would have dreams and would have visions in the last days of this age. So when they all mesh and all the signs around us are becoming clearer every day, it's obvious we're being given many, many warnings and chances to prepare from just about every dream and vision that's being shared on this board. And one more thing. When my older brother was 5, he said to me one day something I have never forgotten. When we were playing in the sandbox with our Hot Wheels, he turned to me and said, "Do you know why we are here? We are born here now because we're supposed to see something really big happen in our lifetime, and we are not going to be scared. This happened 34 years ago." So I wanted to share that because many of us have been taken aboard ship in many, many cases and shown what was going to happen in the future. I can't speak for myself. I haven't actually had that experience that I can recall, but I think probably many people on the planet can remember having had those experiences. I remember in the contactees, the UFO contactees of the 50s and 60s and 70s and and 80s, and maybe the 90s, they all reported in many, 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 many cases being taken up and seated before a large screen. And on the screen, they were shown things that were going to happen on Earth. They were shown the planet that we're going to move into. They were shown the earthquakes and the volcanoes and the floods and the tornadoes and, you know, all of these things that are happening now today. And they were also more or less given their assignments. Now, some of these people, this stayed in their mind, and they immediately shared it in magazine articles or in books that they wrote. Other people said that it was, they forgot it after a while, and then just recently it came back to them. They remembered again. So some of this was seeded in people's consciousness when they were very young, and now it's being reanimated. Other people, they've been shown it and have retained it. I remember when I think he was an editor of the Los Angeles Times, was taken up on a spaceship for 2 weeks with the Verdunts and was given all of this incredible information. And fortunately, he wrote his book about it. I don't remember the title, but his name was Philip Krapp, K-R-A-P-T. And he wrote about being on the ship with these Verdunts, which were humanoid extraterrestrials. And they told him, they said, you'll remember it long enough to write your book, and then gradually your recall will fade until you won't remember this anymore. And sure enough, right after he had finished writing his book, not too long after that, some people spoke to him about his experience, and he couldn't remember it at all. So some of these things are, there's a lid put on them, and it's like there's a time for the information to surface. I think for many people, that time right now is upon them. So again, remember that we volunteered to be here at this time for a very specific purpose. I remember two young ladies I did readings for, private sessions, gosh, this must have been about 10, 15 years ago. They came in at different times on the same day, and they didn't know each other. And it was interesting because both of them said exactly the same thing. They said that they knew when they were born, they were both 20 years old, by the way, they both knew when they were born that they wouldn't marry, they would never have children, and they would never live an ordinary life. They also knew, get this, that they would never die. They actually came in encoded for the rapture or the ascension, whatever you want to call that. I thought that was fascinating. I took a special note of that because these were not girls that had done much spiritual, if any spiritual study. They were very, like I said, 20 years old and very new to all of this stuff. I think probably my session was the first time they'd ever encountered anyone who actually could tell them why they came in with that particular imprint. So it's interesting because I always knew from the time I was a child that I was here to help people find God, to make that connection with God, and to live divine, godly lives. And I knew it was really important that they be connected to God and that they live godly lives. I didn't quite know why at the time, but I was always telling them the importance of loving God, of loving people, and living in love. And obviously that's the boarding pass for being able to rapture or be ascended out of this planet is love. So I was definitely encoded with that particular message. I always knew that I was from a planet other than Earth. I came in with that. As a young child, I had a considerable detailed remembrance of my home world. I remembered that everything was materialized by thought. Everyone was full of love. We had absolutely no negativity whatsoever, no disharmony. The world I lived in was extremely visually beautiful. Flowers and lawns, beautiful trees, beautiful domed houses that we lived in, where you could see through the walls. So it looked like you were in a terrarium. You could look outside and see all of the nature around you, like you were just living in a glass house, but people couldn't see through the walls. It's just, oh, it was the most beautiful environment. And this is an important imprint that I came in with. We didn't die. But when we wanted to discard or dissolve our present form and take on a new embodiment, we stepped into this bluish purple flame. There's a huge flame that came up out of the floor, and we simply stepped into it. And there was like a big celebration and party, like a goodbye party. And when we stepped into that flame, we transfigured into whatever form we held in our consciousness. Not everyone was at the same level of evolution. We did have a semblance of childbearing there. But how we conceived a child was quite different. We would sit with our mate and hold hands. And by the way, we all had our own mate. We didn't shop around. We didn't date. We recognized our divine mate at birth. It's called our Bayun affinity. And so there was never any question about who our mate was. And when we wished to have a child, we would hold hands and meditate. And the child then was conceived supernaturally through the power of the Holy Spirit, just like Jesus, in the woman. And then when they were born, they materialized. They weren't born vaginally. They materialized, again, through prayer and like an invocation that we would say. And they would be born at 10 years of age, like wise young adults. Supposedly, that's the way it's going to be in the new earth. We won't have this torturous childhood, which is really miserable for advanced souls. On some planets, you go to school for 50 years. Like on my brother-in-law's planet, he's from Mars. He said that your childhood is like for 50 years. You go through school for 50 years, and then it's like you know, you're like a graduating teenager at 50. that was his recall of his planet. So anyway, I've had so very many ascension experiences in dreams where I'm always dressed in white and suddenly I just ascend into the air. And usually I'm singing praises to God as I go. I'm always singing in this really beautiful voice. Sometimes I'm waltzing. I remember one dream where I was waltzing with Jesus, and he's the most handsome Middle Eastern man you'd ever want to look at. He's just gorgeous. And as we're waltzing, suddenly I realize that we're off the ground, and we're twirling, and we're way up in the sky. And then sometimes I'm alone. The night before last, I had a dream where I was carried through the sky by the divine spirit. I wasn't trying to fly on my own. I was just carried by the spirit. And as usual, I was dressed in white. This time I was seated upright like a Buddha in a yogi position, and I had on a white draped garment. Perhaps it was a sari. And when I awakened, I was told two words, white Tara. And I'm not sure what that means. I'll have to look it up. But these are all interesting because they're like dreams that you have in alternate realities that are prophetic in a sense, they're foretelling in a sense, they're experiential in a sense, and they don't always make a great deal of sense back in the human level. So it's important to write them down and not to worry too much about understanding them, because we have many in one life. We have many, many things that we're doing on the inner planes that have great significance that isn't apparent to us now. but will be in the times to come. Personally, I have never been shown the destruction scenarios at all. So that's why I don't talk about them. I have to read them from other people because I haven't been shown that, nor have I ever been told to speak about it at any great length. So my knowing about that is that we're not going to be here when this stuff comes down. My knowing is that we may be out of here really, really soon. Really soon. Maybe even this year sometime. So what I was told was to help people achieve a conscious connection with the divine presence and to help people develop the security of knowing that they're part of God, that they live and move and have their being in God, and that God lives within them and appears outwardly to them, taking the very form of their devotion, and that God is love, and love is their true divine nature. So those are the things I have really focused on and the messages I've been giving. There's just a lot of different prophetic scenarios that have been shared, but they all seem to have the same basic elements. They all speak about the earth changes and the shifting of the poles. I remember Annie Kirkwood wrote a wonderful book back in the 80s called Messages of Mother Mary. And I kept, I wrote in the margin of the book every time one of her prophecies came true. And everyone had come true so far but one, and that was the polar axis shift. And she said, those people who say that there's not going to be a shift, a physical shift of the poles of the earth, are mistaken. There will definitely be a shift in the polar axis of the planet. Now, we've had the magnetic shift already, Michael Gordon Scallion's book about that, and we've already noticed that the airports have had to change their navigational equipment to adjust for the new positioning. And we know that, forgot what I was going to say, but there's been several that have addressed that. The Mayans, through Junvalo, the Mayan Council of Guatemala that I did the show on some months back, had spoken about the fact that we will have 30 hours of darkness during which we will have the polar shift, and that we are not to be afraid, we are to meditate or go to sleep, and during that 30-hour period of darkness, we will move into immortal bodies of light. So that's what the Guatemala Mayans had to say about this time. So I personally think these things are on our doorstep, and I wanted to share a few of them tonight. I actually had a lot more I wanted to share, but I see the time is such that I think it's best we close for this evening. But perhaps I will continue this on another show if I'm guided to do so. Anyway, I want you to know that everything is prepared for you. God will never leave you or forsake you. You have chosen to be here for this time. You are not to be afraid. If necessary, food will materialize, just as it did for the ancient Israelites. Manna appeared when they needed it and fed them, and food will materialize for you when you need it. And very many miracles are going to be occurring in your life and around you. Open yourself and expand to that unlimited possibility in which you now are being called to walk. Unlimited possibility. Miraculous happenings. Divine intervention. Divine supervision. We're in those times. And I just want you to not be afraid. Don't take the evidence of what you see in the outer news and the outer world. Keep your focus on God. Meditate every day. Attune yourself every day. And trust God for what you need in your life and for your direction. And keep your mind unclouded from worry and agitation so that you can hear the guidance of God very clearly without static. So work to quiet yourself. Practice the meditation in the morning and in the evening. 10, 15, 20 minutes. Sit very quietly and repeat the name of the Lord and just consciously have the intention to attune and listen and see what you receive. So let's go out chanting. Let's do some nice shanti, shanti, shanti. And that's the very signature of sound designating divine peace. Let's chant it right into the gulf and into the people of this world and into the world itself. Take a deep breath. Shanti. 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 North, south, east, and west, above and below, within and without, peace to all beings, peace to all worlds, peace to everything that has breath, and may everything that has breath praise the Lord. God evening, and God bless you, and hopefully I will be with you next week. Adonai.